It's been almost 50 years since Lyndon Johnson declared the nation's war on poverty, and half a century later, well, that enemy hasn't exactly been defeated. In fact, some would say we're no closer to a solution to the problem. In many ways, we can't agree on what the problem is. I'm Brian Ellis, and today on Central Standard, we talk with historian Michael Katz. His book, The Undeserving Poor, came out nearly 25 years ago and challenged how America thinks about the roots and nature of poverty. We'll revisit those seminal and sometimes controversial ideas and ask him what has changed and what remains stubbornly the same. Also this morning, a look at yesterday's Missouri Supreme Court ruling clearing the way for Kansas City public school students to transfer to other districts next fall. What could it mean for your child and our schools? Superintendent Stephen Green will join us. It's all ahead on Central Standard after the news. Good morning. Welcome to Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison. Poverty in America is an intractable problem, but it has been addressed over the years in many ways. We'll be talking today with one of the seminal professors and scholars of poverty in order to make sure, explore the possibilities for relieving it. But first today, we're talking about news yesterday from the Missouri Supreme Court, the law that allows students in unaccredited districts to transfer at district expense to the schools of neighboring districts. That decision was upheld. That means that the neighbors of Kansas City Public Schools lost their case. They're afraid that the impact on their districts will be detrimental. And, of course, the Kansas City District isn't happy about the ruling either. Kansas City Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Stephen Green will join us in just a moment. Joining us to talk about yesterday's ruling is KCUR reporter Sylvia Maria Gross. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Sylvia. So what was yesterday's ruling?
Well, the Supreme Court just upheld this law that was passed in 1993 that allows students in an unaccredited district to transfer to an accredited district in the area, in the same county or in an adjoining district. The Supreme Court basically said that, the districts had argued that it was an unfunded mandate. The districts that were concerned about receiving these students, that they wouldn't be able to pay to properly educate those students. The court said that it just shifts responsibility and the resources of educating from the unaccredited district to the accredited district, because the unaccredited district needs to pay tuition, the state allotment that they get for educating the student. They just give that money over to the district that now will be educating that student, so that the law is constitutional.
So what districts around here are, what neighboring districts are affected?
Well, a lot. In fact, I was just trying to get that exact information right now. I just got a suggestion from the Cooperating School Districts of Kansas City that 45 area districts could be affected. And I'm just checking up on that fact right now. But basically any other district in Jackson County students could transfer to, or adjoining districts to the Kansas City district in other counties.
There have been 4 to 6 districts that have been part of this lawsuit and this discussion over the last few years, right?
Right. I think 5 districts filed the lawsuit. And Kansas City, the state allows an unaccredited district to select one district to send students to that they'd actually pay transportation costs for as well. Kansas City actually selected 4. That's Independence, Raytown, North Kansas City, and Center School District, imagining those were sort of the closest larger districts that students may transfer to.
So the only other places in the state where this is an issue are a couple of small districts in the St. Louis area, the only other unaccredited districts. What's been the impact of the transfer law there?
Right. In Normandy and Riverview Gardens, those are the two other unaccredited districts in the state. They're in the St. Louis area, and thousands of students have transferred this year. And it's been really a very contentious situation, very difficult, and bringing up a lot of difficult issues for the communities about segregation, about race, about income and poverty, and you know, both in the receiving districts, many of which people felt like are not being that welcoming to this influx of new students, and also, but also for families, you know, stuck in unaccredited districts where they feel like their kids aren't getting the education they deserve.
Right. So does that mean that this, a similar thing will happen here, just because that is how it played out in the St. Louis area?
Well, that's the fear. And I should say the other big problem for those districts that are unaccredited is their budgets have just been decimated by paying all this tuition to these other districts. Now, you would think, you know, well, they're not educating those kids, but really in terms of budgets and planning and staffing, I mean, just to suddenly have to close schools or lay off 100 teachers, it's been really hard. The states have to step in. The state commissioner of education has asked for $6.8 million for one of those districts. They're heading towards bankruptcy. So it is a really bad situation right now in St. Louis, and nobody in Kansas City wants to see that happen. Well, however, I don't know how likely that is. There are maybe not as many kids affected here in Kansas City, and there are some people who have argued that kids whose parents want other options for them have already transferred to charter schools or maybe moved out of the district. Or
right, a situation that doesn't exist in the St. Louis areas.
Well, they have charter schools, I think, in the St. Louis district, but not in Riverview Gardens in Normandy. So parents don't have that option. Here, there's a lot of charter schools.
Well, one of the people who certainly is least interested in seeing a similar situation play out is the superintendent of the Kansas City Public Schools, Dr. Stephen Green, and he's joining us now. Dr. Green, thank you for being with us.
No, thank you for having me.
So, I assume you're disappointed by the ruling yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm disappointed for what it means to our families here, as we, given the vulnerable situation of the school district, but more importantly, the vulnerable situation of many of our families. Stability is something, you know, the first steps toward restoring not only just accreditation, but restoring the district back to moving in the right direction. That was something that was called upon by, you know, from me. In other words, Dr. Green, how long are you going to be here? We need to know that you're going to continue to lead this district and be the example of stability. We were tired of the revolving door. I made a commitment to stop that revolving door and stay the course here as a superintendent. I think the same kind of thing around stability needs to be at play throughout the district. We need time to actually work on our work and work with our students. Any kind of distraction from that poses a threat to that stability. I think the transfer law is a threat to stability. We already have a highly mobile population, and every time you move a child around, the likelihood of that impacting their learning is significant. The research is very clear on that.
So what do you fear will be the impact? Do you think you're going to see an outflow of students from the Kansas City Public Schools?
I think we'll see some, but I think, as was referenced earlier, many who wanted to leave have already left.
So will you be trying
through nature of charter schools or through nature of private schools or others? But the real issue is the constant turbulence. You know, at one point, I guess, in history, the problems with the Kansas City Public School Districts were internal. We've addressed those internal things, the distractions and the constant, you know, whether it's the board or the superintendent or whatever's going on. We stabilized that. The instability factors and forces are external to the district now, whether that's the transfer law or whether that's the situation with takeover and DESE and the threat of that. The threat of those things creates an unstable environment that I'm trying to make sure does not penetrate and infiltrate the morale and the effort to help our students do better.
Sure.
According to the accountability system.
So will the district undertake some intentional effort to discourage parents from sending their students out to the other districts?
No, we will. I mean, we will continue to market ourselves as the best option because we have the resources and the proximity and the other kinds of things that speak to why it would be a good idea to stay, but we're not going to discourage and try to impede choice in any shape, form, or fashion.
Now, do you foresee a conflict with the implementation of this law? Do you see a conflict between the Kansas City Public Schools and those neighboring districts? So, for example, would the district have to pay up front for the full year? Is that a cash flow problem for the district, since Kansas City Public Schools, of course, have to pay for the education of those students in the other districts?
The logistics and the specifics of how that plays out will be a problem, but there'll probably be areas where we'll disagree, all in the spirit of trying to find what's the right, what's fair to both sides. We prefer to pay as you go, because we know of mobility. A family may move back within a given year, and if the money has already been paid, then how does it get returned? And I'm sure that the receiving districts have a similar concern. Of having a student waiting for and having lag time between the money, when the money would arrive for that student. So all those details are still questions to be worked out. It's going to be complicated.
So back on the first day of school, you were on the program with us, and you sounded that day like a man who thought accreditation was right around the corner. You'd met the criteria, you'd done internal assessments that showed you had the scores to restore to at least provisional accredited status. What do you think happened?
Well, I mean, new developments and new information has been brought to light that was up to this point in the darkness. We were operating under the assumption that the APR score was the variable that would determine whether or not we were going to at least be given due consideration and be given at least provisional accreditation status. Given the improvements we'd made the year before, knocking on the door of provisional accreditation within a few, 3 or 4 percentage points, and then this year, even with a changed accountability system that set us back even further, having overcome that, and I think our students deserve the credit for that, reached 60% or 84 points, we thought we had a very strong case. Recent developments have indicated that perhaps we didn't have a chance at all.
And the recent developments you're talking about was the news this week that there may have been what some have characterized as an improper bidding process for the state contract with the consultant CEE Trust. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, not only just an improper bidding process, but the prediction of not succeeding, and the assumption, the fact that the die was already cast, that the machinery was in place to under the assumption that we would not be accredited. Regardless of what we scored, that the emails that I've seen indicate the decision had already been made in April and May, and there was the process that we went through to try to make an appeal was not authentic.
Why do you think the die has been cast? In other words, why do you think that the officials in Jefferson City would not want the Kansas City Public Schools to return on its own to accreditation?
Honestly speaking, I think the plan seems to be that Kansas City has been selected as a laboratory for experimentation. We were identified as a laboratory back in even maybe before April, before the email started. The laboratory is to study what can be done to reform and transform for the long term urban education, and the funding was in place by two of our local foundations. The scientists were selected by as C-Trust. They will be studying us. And to my knowledge, I'm going to be very honest with you, I haven't heard the families of this community, the children of this community, give consent to be subjected to an experiment like that.
Well, and I guess my question might be, isn't it a good thing to explore new ways of educating kids in districts that are chronically underperforming? Education Commissioner Chris Nicastro has said that she doesn't want to see incremental improvements, but rather wants to see sort of a wholesale change. You're characterizing that as an experiment, as a laboratory, but isn't there a need for a really big picture look at how we do education in places like Kansas City?
I'm all in favor of learning and trying to explore different ways. I've been part of education reform much of my career. The manner in which it is done, though, has a lot to do with the integrity of the operation. And so I think that you have to be very, very careful about if you're going to do that. The individuals who are most affected are fully aware of that. They're very informed. Any kind of project or experiment like that, you need to at least have consent of those who are going to be subjects in that kind of study and analysis, and you need to be very, very transparent about it. And that's the troubling part for me.
I should mention that we did reach out to the consultants, to CEE Trust, for comment. They declined to join us. They said they were formulating their official suggestions for the State Board, which will be released in January. We also invited comment from State Education Commissioner Krista Castro, but that was within the last 24 hours, and we did not yet get a reply. One more comment here from our reporter, Sylvia Maria Gross.
I was just going to add, I got those numbers of the districts that kids could transfer to, and there are actually 45 districts, according to the Cooperating School Districts of Kansas City, that students might transfer to. They include any in a county which the Kansas City district touches. So that's 11 districts in Jackson County, 10 in Cass County, 7 in Clay County, 7 in Johnson County, Missouri, 6 in Lafayette, and 4 in Ray County. That is according to the Cooperating School Districts. I think a lot about the actual implementation of this law is still very unclear, and whether students would actually go. The Kansas City Star did ask a few months back districts what they were hearing, and they didn't hear a lot, that they weren't hearing from a lot of parents making requests about transfers.
Last question, Dr. Green. What's next? Will there be further legal efforts to put this law on hold from, at least on behalf of the Kansas City Public Schools? Will you focus on a legislative effort with the new legislative session begins in January? Will you still fight this law?
I will always be an advocate for modification and change of the law so that it, to the degree that it does not negatively impact families and the families that I'm charged with serving. Whether or not I'm having conversations with the board, as I indicated yesterday in the press conference, my board, and we're exploring all options. And as I mentioned before, all options remain on the table until we've decided otherwise. I think another important point to bring out, it was interesting, I was at a meeting with the cooperating school districts, both St. Louis and Kansas City, and Normandy, a representative from the Normandy school district spoke, as well as a representative from one of the receiving districts spoke. And what concerned me was they both said that they are not seeing noticeable improvement from the students that the receiving district had received from Normandy. That concerned, because the assumption is that if they go, if this transfer takes place, that the transfer will result in the students doing better. And the indications that I received when they spoke very candidly, both the Normandy school district studying those students that they sent, and one of the receiving school districts, Melville, that received this, said that they're really, a few are doing better, but they're not doing much better. That's something that really needs to be understood.
We're going to have to leave it there. Dr. Stephen Green, the Kansas City, Missouri Public Schools Superintendent, thank you so much for taking a few minutes today to join us.
Thank you.
We also have been joined by KCUR Sylvia Maria Gross. Sylvia, thank you.
You're welcome.
Stand by now as we talk more about poverty in America.